But a couple of weeks ago, I read an article about, it was called The Truth About the Babe in the Manger, and it was an eye-opening, startling article that I hope many people will get to listen to. And it was written by a guy named T.M. Moore. I have no idea who that is. I know he writes things on the internet on occasion, but some of the points he made were so, what is the word? They just kind of get inside of you and make you think about the whole idea of the babe in the manger. And at the outset, I certainly want us to understand that the Bible doesn't authorize us to celebrate a religious holiday called Christmas. And it's very, very unlikely that Jesus was born anywhere near December 25th. Very unlikely. That day wasn't celebrated, as I think was talked about this morning in class, for several hundred years. But the idea, because so many people in the world do focus on Jesus at Christmas time, and the way they focus on him, that these words are so important. And again, I hope many people have a chance to listen to this, and I'm very unashamed about the fact that I'm going to be looking at much of what he said about it, because it is so pertinent, it's so relevant to our society. Every year, you know, Christmas comes around, the Christmas season comes around, and we start seeing what is normally called the nativity scene, and we see the shepherds, and sometimes there'll be the wise men. There's always three of them, even though the Bible never says anything about the number of them. And we see the babe in the manger and all of that. And I think it's become obvious, and so does the writer, that a large number of people simply have got it all completely wrong. Just from A to Z, they've got the whole idea of the babe in the manger wrong. And that's what we want to explore tonight. We want to explore the truth about the coming of the Messiah. Because how he's presented, we see the babe in the manger, we see the peace on earth, goodwill toward men being promoted almost as a unity effort. And this time of year, a lot of religious organizations, different faiths, different churches, different denominations will often go together with different types of religious services to promote this idea of unity, somehow loosely based upon the fact that they worship a common Savior who was born and came into this world as a babe. And so as we look at that idea, that's what I want us to focus on this evening, is what it really means. Is his coming into the world really about peace on earth, goodwill toward men? Is that really what it's about? Now, if you've watched any religious shows or seen any religious advertisements or so forth on TV or radio, yeah, that's what it would be. That this time of year is all about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. What is sad, of course, is that on December 26th, what happens? Oh, things go back exactly like they were the other 300 and some days of the year. In other words, that peace on earth, goodwill toward men has no real meaning to people. They look at that idea of peace on earth, goodwill toward men as, oh, what a wonderful day it is. I believe that he came into the world and my life is good. The other 364 days of the year, they live very unaffected by what he really meant by coming into the world. Not what's often promoted, not what's often expounded from pulpits or from radio and TV. The wrong idea about who Jesus really is and why he came into the world. He says in this that the one thing that I think is maybe the most important thing is the good news is actually bad news. You mean you're talking about Christmas and you're saying it's bad news? Yeah, it is. Jesus coming into the world was actually bad news for the vast majority of people in the world. It was bad news. And that shocks people because this is the time of year when everybody, again, thinks about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That Jesus came into the world and essentially everybody that believes on him or even believes that he came into the world is okay. And that everything is fine. And that they're receiving goodwill. And that they do have peace. When in reality, that news is not the truth. Now we do know in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, this is what the Bible tells us was said. But as is often the case, when you don't read the whole context, we miss things. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. This, of course, is when the shepherds are out in the fields. They're keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 13 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" We're going to explore that much more. Those people who believe that he came into the world as the Messiah, those people who believe that he came and died on the cross and was resurrected, those people who believe that forgiveness is only available to those who submit their lives to him in obedience, that proclamation is true. But for all other people on earth, those people who do not believe he died and rose again, for those people who do not believe that he's the only way to heaven, for those people who do not believe that forgiveness is only available in him, and to those who submit and obey, then that coming is bad news to them because peace and goodwill they will not receive. So again, for the vast number of people in the world, that news is really bad news. Because his coming convicts them of sin, exposes who they are, tells them about their unrighteous life, and actually condemns what they do. Notice still in Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. This is about Simeon who had been waiting to see God's salvation. Verses 34 and 35 says, "Then Simeon blessed them," talking about Joseph, his mother, "and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" You see what that said? He's destined for the fall and rising of many. And he's going to reveal people's true hearts. So for a lot of people, his coming is not a coming of peace and goodwill, but rather it's a coming of judgment. It's a coming of a call to change their lives. It's not a call for peace and goodwill. But it's actually a call, a warning of judgment. First of all, it's bad news for the devil. It's bad news for everybody who is following Satan. And of course, it is sad and unfortunate that many people who claim to be following Christ are in reality following Satan. those who just give lip service to Christ, those who just believe and then say, I can live any way I want, it's bad news. Because it says he came to condemn those who do not believe and obey. So the good news for many is bad news. Anybody who prefers a lifestyle of lies and deception, those people who take advantage of others for personal gain, they need to be troubled. They need to be troubled. Because his coming is not good news, but bad news. Because he came to convict them of their wickedness and of their evil. Those people who just focus on human relationships, those people who deceive, those people who oppress, those people who lie, those people who are vengeful, he came to call people to change. This time of year, people just want to focus on a little baby in a manger. But that's the beginning of the story. That's not the end of the story. It's the end of the story that's important. Yes, he had to be born, just like Isaiah 7:14 prophesies. He had to be born of a virgin. Yes, he had to be born in Bethlehem in Palestine. He had to be born at the right time. But his birth was not the central event in human history. It was his death, burial, and resurrection that was the central event in human history. And yes, without his birth, that wouldn't have happened. But his birth was the beginning of the story, not the end of the story. And so for many people, when they think of that babe in the manger, they shouldn't be thinking about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. They should be thinking about the one that will judge them on the last day. That's what they need to think about. That's what he came to do. He is a Savior, but he's only a Savior to those who believe in him and obey. A few chapters over in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 49. Now this is Jesus speaking. This is the one that was born in that manger. Notice what he says beginning in verse 49. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. That doesn't sound like peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it's accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? Notice that same expression. I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He's very specific. He said, I didn't come to bring peace on earth to everyone. He said, my coming into the world for many, many people is going to be bad news. The reason is because some, even in a family, will believe and obey and some won't. For those who believe and obey, it's the most wonderful news ever. For those people who don't believe and obey, it's truly the worst possible news. This should just get inside of us and totally rethink the whole idea of that babe being born in a manger and what it means. No, it's not the end of the story. It's the beginning of the story. And a lot of people, unfortunately and sadly, at this time of year, what do? They maybe attend worship service or one of two times a year, and believe in some way that that's what pleases God. Or during these few days during the year, they will maybe act a little nicer to people and kinder to people and think that that's all it takes. As long as I act nice and kind a few days of the year, the rest of the days I can act any way I want. And those people are deceiving themselves. He says, we're to take up our cross and follow Him how often? Daily. Not for a week out of the year or a month out of the year, but throughout the year. For those people, the good news truly is bad news. That's the Christ that people need to hear about. Yes, they need to hear about Him being born, but look how little in the New Testament is given to His birth. But look how much is given about that last week of His life. From His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, to His betrayal, to that Last Supper, to those trials He went through, the sufferings and beatings, the death on the cross, the time in the tomb, and then His resurrection. See, that's what's important about the coming of that babe in the manger. And that's the truth about the babe in the manger. Because it's Him who's going to judge us on the last day. And for all of those that don't believe and don't obey, that good news is bad news. And that's what needs to be resounded throughout the world. Every week, every month of the year. Because as wonderful and loving as a little baby is, what did that baby do? That baby grew up to be the Savior and died on the cross. It was the same one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. You mean I can't come through some other world religion? No. For all those people, the good news is bad news. That's the message that needs to be proclaimed. That there's only salvation in Him. There is no salvation in any other name. His birth was just the beginning of the story. It wasn't the end. And it's what He did at the end of His life that was so critical to our salvation. Those people who hope in wealth, those people who hope in human relationships, those people who put their faith in things of this world, it's bad news. His coming was bad news. Because that's not where our greatest joy and purpose in life comes from. It comes from living for Him. Not living for those things. We know about this rich young ruler that came to Him. And he was a good person as far as just being good is concerned. But that wasn't what he needed to do. Jesus could look into his heart, he looked into his mind, he looked at his attitude and saw that it wasn't right. And so he told him what he needed to do. In that case, what he had to do was give up those riches and wealth because that was his source of greatest joy. But he wouldn't do it. He went away, the Bible says, sorrowfully. Jesus did not tell him peace on earth, goodwill. That would have been the wrong thing to tell him. Because the coming of that babe in the manger ended up by him dying on the cross. That's the message that's important. That's the real good news. And we shouldn't deceive ourselves into thinking, no one should, that we can put almost all of our time and energy and and resources and everything else into things of this world, and then give just a tiny little bit to Christ and His church and expect Him to be pleased with that. For those people, the good news is bad news. That's the message that needs to be preached. That's the message that needs to be told throughout the world. People are deceiving themselves each day. They think about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This is the message that has to be proclaimed. This is the message that everyone needs to hear. Regardless of who they are, regardless of where they've come from, and for people who try to promote the idea that everyone's going to heaven, everyone's going to be saved, there's multitudes of ways to God, you can choose the church of your choice, those people are simply deceiving themselves. For them, that good news is actually bad news. Not only is it bad news, it's sad news. But the reverse of that is true, because there is good news for who? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said who the good news was for. Says there's going to be a group of people, it's a minority, he says, it's a small number, that choose to follow that straight and narrow path. He says that one leads to eternal life. And for them, his coming is wonderful news. It's news to rejoice about. It's news that gives them hope. And then he described at the very end of that sermon who those people are. Those that choose that wide, broad path are those people who don't do what? They hear the word, but don't obey it. They don't obey it. The wise man, the one who chooses the narrow path that leads to everlasting life, is the one who does what? Hears that word and does it. And does it. And that's how Jesus describes the difference. His coming for that group on the narrow path is the greatest news. Before that vast majority of people who take that broad path, that good news turns into bad news. Not because of Christ, but because of their response to Christ. Maybe they're following some world religion. Maybe they think that Jesus was just a good man or just a good teacher, not really the Son of God. Or maybe they don't believe that He really died and rose again. For all of those people, they're deceived. And His coming into the world, which could be good news, is bad news. And that's what the world needs to hear more than anything. Yes, they need to hear about His birth, but far more than that, they need to hear about why He had to die and why He rose again. That's what they need to hear. They need to hear what Jesus said on more than one occasion. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. No, people don't want to hear that message, but yet that's the message they must hear if they want good news to remain good news. And it's a message that the world needs to hear. Everybody needs to hear that message because it's critical. Nothing is more important for them to hear the truth about the babe in the manger. That's what the world needs to hear. Not the sugar-coated version. Not the fluff version. They need to hear the truth about the babe in the manger. Because He grew up. He died on the cross. He rose the third day. He ascended into heaven. And one day, He's going to judge the world in righteousness. And every one of us, everyone that hears this, everyone that's listening, everyone that reads this, whatever, everyone will stand before that judgment seat of Christ. For some, it will be good news they'll hear. But for many, that good news will have turned into bad news. That's the message of the hour. And it's a message we all need to hear. If you need to respond to this message, if you need to come and ask for forgiveness, if you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we want you to know that now is the day of salvation.